Hi everyone, welcome back to Heavenland Devotions, the Little Green Pasture. Praise the Lord. You know, I really have a special message to give today, probably on something you probably would not ever think that I would bring up. But I know I have the Father's heart on this, the Lord's heart. So I'm going to pray because I will honor Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much that you have blessed me today with another day to proclaim the name of the Lord, that you are good and full of compassion and of tender mercies, and that you will not at all acquit the guilty. I thank you for what you're doing, what you will do, and what we can look forward to, Lord God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this message that you brought to me over the last few days. And it is in your name I thank you and I offer up this entire message to you, and I ask you, Holy Spirit, to overflow the vats of my heart and to let your sound be heard. And let this message go forth like the streams in the valley that run among the hills. For I pray this in your blessed and holy name. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So today, let me just begin. You know, we're all so hyper aware, obviously, of all the signs that we are seeing in these very last moments of what we understand it to be church history. And all the pieces are falling in place. And many of us have become proficient at what the signs are that we've read in the Bible. And I'm not going to go through those because you already know what they are. But something I've been watching for quite some time is something maybe you've seen. I know I'm not the only one, but I have noticed the animal kingdom. And, you know, I'm on Instagram, and my Instagram account is very guarded. I don't watch any trash on there. I delete anything that's questionable. I follow things that have recipes in it, tons of nature things and animals. And I have been seeing, just in the last 2 or 3 years and building, the absolute cruelty of animals, from the rich to the poor, in all nations. And you know, the animals play such a huge part in the lives of this creation. And I don't think that we really give a whole lot of heed to it. This is not a rebuke. Otherwise, I'd be rebuking myself. And maybe it's because things are so fast tracking in this world that everybody is so busy and everybody's trying to get something and go somewhere and be something and fight and obtain. And there's this beautiful animal kingdom that's being destroyed. We read and have known over the last 10 years of constant mass die-offs of all kinds of fish and birds and animals. I mean, the list is, again, endless. And it's not just, well, you know, whales do beach themselves from time to time. And, well, sometimes there is a bird virus or no. We don't buy into that, although those things are true. But we're talking mass die-offs of the animal kingdom. Hosea speaks about it. I don't have that in front of me. But it talks about all the fish being wiped out and birds being wiped out. We're seeing devastation all over the world. They want to call it global warming or whatever they want to call it. But let me tell you something. It is Jesus Christ. It is God who is in control of this earth. It is Jesus Christ. He is the creator. He is God. He is creator. That triune Godhead has an all-power claim over everything in the earth and even under the earth. And so, let me just now say this. So it was about a week ago, it started to really get me down. You know, I'm seeing all these animal rescue foundations happening and people trying to help all these dogs, and people are abandoning beautiful dogs that have been loving and they're just being dumped, and cats being forgotten, and horses and all kinds of animals being starved to death. And yes, that's always been, but nothing like we're seeing now. And you look over in third world nations and you're seeing donkeys with a burden so great, and they're being whipped and whipped and whipped, and their legs are shaking. There is such animal cruelty that's proportions I've never seen before. And I know it is a sign. It's an absolute sign that we are at the end, because the animals, I want to start right here. I'm going to start in Genesis because it's important. As I started to really build this up, and I was praying to God, like, it started to bother me so bad. Before I give you the scripture, it started to bother me so badly that every time I started to look at something, I was like, God, I can't take it. I can't take it. And I'm not a person that hides my eyes. I am not that one. You know, God tells his prophets, Jeremiah, what do you see? Ezekiel, what do you see? Jesus, when he was in his body on earth, he would direct people to look at certain things and ask them to look and to and see. It's all about seeing. And I think that we as a global world have become so absolutely hardened in heart that it is nothing. It is nothing. There is no conscience at all for the brutality and cruelty of animals. And in tears over about 2 or 3 days, as I began to talk about it, I couldn't even talk about it to the Lord without crying, because it was building in me. It was so disturbing to me, and I was so devastated. I was so crushed and brokenhearted because of the enormity and the volume of the intense horror and suffering animals are going through right now. And I prayed to God, and on the third day of that prayer, I said to him, I said, God, I can't take it anymore. And I know I'm not the only voice. I know there's other people. I said, but I'm saying to you right now, you've got to come back, because your whole creation groaneth and is in travail until now. And I'm groaning with it. I mean, this whole earth is groaning. Look at it. Look at it. And the main thing, I know I have the Lord's heart on this, because I prayed. And I mean, I even up until an hour ago, I was like, if this is not what you want. And as I was praying, Lord, give me something else. Let me dip into your living waters. It would come right to the surface. Because I know in my heart, by witness of the Spirit within me, and I'm not a baby, and I've been around for a long time, and I know the touch of the Holy Spirit. I know my master's voice like no other. And you know, I think of this animal kingdom, they don't have a voice. They just get killed without anybody thinking about it. I mean, I just want to say this before I go on of what the Lord showed me in his own word. You know, I think about, you know, last year, 10,000 head of cattle were burned to death somewhere in the Midwest. And then now there's another cattle ranch that burned down. And there's all these chicken ranches that burned down over the last 3 years. And there's, like, again, mass die-offs And I've never seen people abandoning their animals more than I ever. And they suffer hard. And what's more, when I follow Instagram, I'm looking at people that own oxen, that own sheep, that own all kinds of, like, they own cows and even other animals like ostriches and all these different animals. And come to find out, because of the fact that things are being filmed these days, these animals are full of love. They are full of love. They are full of sacrificial love. I've seen cows, chickens. I've seen, been seeing things. Even interestingly enough, I've been seeing insects like bumblebees, butterflies, things that we never even considered showing love, showing literal emotion. Oh, they're out there. Google it, YouTube it. You'll see. You'll see what I'm saying. And if I remember, I'm going to try to do my best. I'm going to try to include some video links on the bumblebees that are needing help, and people make a habitat for it. And just, I'm starting to see something also happening is the animals are being revealed with the love of God in them. God created them with a potent love. With a ferocious love. I mean, you see what mother animals do. They will fight to the death, whatever animal it is, until it's dead to save their young. And I feel so powerfully the heart of Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven, how devastated they are. And it's so important to God, that in me, to the best of my ability, to tell you, I'm not putting words in God's mouth. I am not saying, thus saith the Lord, but I know what I know within me by that spirit of revelation and understanding and wisdom, that God is speaking to us. Whoever you may be that owns an animal, you know what I think? What I know for me, as I began to pray for the animals that are groaning and that are suffering and for mercy. And let me tell you something, in the middle of the night, one night, it was about a month ago, I woke up in the middle of the night and my heart started to throb in my chest for grief, because I was seeing in my mind beautiful animals that were suffering. And I had seen a couple where these dogs were just dumped by their masters and owners, or whatever you want to call them, and they drive off and they're just staring. They don't understand. They're innocent. And I started to become upset in the middle of the night. And I said to the Lord in my heart, I said, "Oh God," I said, "I pray you protect every single animal in this world." And I know I heard the Lord's voice within me saying, "I am with them. I am with them. My angels protect them, those that have been abandoned." God, I believe when I heard that, I heard him say, "I have an angel for every animal." And in the past, I'd make an apology for that. I'd be like, "Oh, I know, I know it doesn't say that in the word, but I don't have to make an apology, because I know in my heart what I heard." Now, let me share something with you. Let me go back to what happened. So when I was praying to the Lord about this situation, and I was begging him, I was like, "Lord, you've got to come back. You have got to come back." And so after I got done praying, I was in the book of Leviticus and I came across this scripture. And it is in chapter 24. And it says, starting at verse 17, "And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. And he that killeth a beast shall make it good, beast for beast." And then I'll go down here, verse 20. "Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, As he hath caused a blemish in a man, shall it be done to him again. And he that killeth a beast, he shall restore it. And he that killeth a man, he shall be put to death. This is the law. And notice, if you're a real Bible reader, you're going to see throughout the whole Bible that God always couples man and beast. They're always coupled together. And notice, so when I read this, that word was like, it was, may I say, pulsating to me. Because in it, I could hear the Lord speaking to me saying, notice, I know that men are above animals. God doesn't have to explain that. I don't need to explain that to you because none of you are babies. And the word is clear about man, beast, you know, the whole pecking order of creation. But what I see here is that when God says it twice, he says it in 18, and he says it in 21, and this, and so the center of that meaning, he says, and he that killeth the beast, pardon me, let me back up, and he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death, and he that killeth the beast shall make it good, beast for beast. Then he says, breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he has caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. And he that killeth the beast, see now this is the second time he reiterates it. He that killeth the beast, he shall restore it, and he that killeth the man, he shall put it to death. Notice how that law, that breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, is sandwiched in between man and beast, man and beast. And the center point of that is the heart of God. Where God is saying that the life of his creation demands a law. It demands retribution. And I saw really for the first time, excuse me, I saw really for the first time God's severity, his, I can't even find the words, he's serious about those he loves. Let me get over here in chapter 24, because in chapter 24, it was the next day that I read this. And it says here in chapter 24, oh, that was chapter 24. Okay, so also in chapter 17, it says here, sorry, you guys, it says here that there are hunting laws and killing laws about killing animals. It says in chapter 17, verse 3, and what man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, or that kills it out of the camp, and brings it not into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man who hath shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. You know, an offering had to be done, a peace offering, to the end that the children of Israel, verse 5, may bring their sacrifices which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for priest offerings unto the Lord, and so forth. You could read that chat, you could read that through, but the points I'm bringing out are, okay, let me just read this, and then I'm going to comment. And then it says, and whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh, and the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is in the blood thereof. Whosoever shall eat the blood thereof shall be cut off. Now, that's a dietary law. Now, I read those on purpose to show you what God showed me. And that is how serious he is about his animals. It's just not kill and eat. I mean, and when you really even think about it, unless you're a vegetarian, which still we give thanks, that if anything that you're eating, give thanks for it. Thank God for it. Because there was a life and its blood was poured out. And, you know, we go to the store, we buy this, we buy that, and we eat it. You know, and I'm aware, you know, even the chickens, you see some of these chicken, I'm sorry, hell holes, where these chickens never see daylight. Or if you eat pork, look at how they treat the swine. Look at how they treat the pigs. And you know what? How we treat them here across and other nations, they do things more horrifically. Now, let me read this. I want to bring this to your attention as we talk about God's covenant with the animal kingdom. In Genesis 9, 9 through 10, God speaks to Noah and he says, "And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth." So you see, this covenant was not with man only, but with all the animal creation as well. You know, when you see cattle roam the valleys, or maybe you see sheep grazing in the meadows, and birds flying in the air, and even insects that are chirping in the fields, that is his. You are, remember, when you see them, he has a covenant with them. When you're petting your pets, when you're looking at them, you remember God has a covenant with them. You know, in Romans 8, 19 through 23, it says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth and is in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves only also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body." See, we have, by the Spirit, through the new birth, the glorious liberty of the children of God. But they're not liberated yet. And it's getting worse and worse for them by day. You know, it talks in, Jesus speaks in Matthew, where he says, "The love of many shall wax cold." Paul speaks about it in Romans chapter 1, that there will be no more natural affection. And it doesn't just end with parents not loving their children, which is happening now. But the love of many, meaning the love of everything God creates, the love of his nature, the love of the animals, everything that he gives, they have no love for it anymore. They just love themselves. And so you see gross consumerism. You see trash heaps building up in canyons, waste. This whole world is groaning, and it's groaning deep. Last year, I had a dream, and I believe it was a dream of the millennial kingdom. And I'm not going to tell the whole dream, but there was one part where I was standing on some high, I was at a house, And I remember going through the house and I stood on the balcony and I looked out over a glorious land. And I wanted, there was this beautiful river. It was a beautiful river in front of me. And so I went down the stairs and I stood on the shore of that river and I saw these dogs and they were walking in front of me slowly. And they got into the water and they began to swim in the water. And I felt this potent power of peace. And they weren't just doing this, they were just in it like this. And their eyes, their heads were up, and the sun was shining on them. And their eyes were closed. And they were receiving this release. And I knew that they were released even from the bondage of ownership from people, that they were no longer under any bondage at all. And they went up the river in that beautiful, beautiful peace. They belong to God. In Job 12, 7 through 10, it says, "But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee. And the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee, who knoweth not in all these that the land, that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind." God commands us to treat them with respect and kindness. It says in Proverbs 27:23, it says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds." It says, even in the law in Exodus 23:5, "If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help him. Have mercy." Have mercy on the animals, even of the person that you hate. If you hate anybody, you shouldn't be hating anybody. In other words, this is the extreme. Don't, I mean, show mercy to them. It says, "A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel." And I want you to think about even animals. I mean, think about all the times you see animals mentioned in the Bible. They're not just there, they're not just cheap fillers for the big stories of the Bible. In fact, the big stories of the Bible and the people wouldn't even have been possible if it wasn't for animals that made things happen. Look at the animal sacrifices. Look at the dove and the raven on Noah's boat. If it wasn't for that dove bringing back an olive leaf, how would he have known that it was safe to find land now? What about the two milch kine? That's the old King James for saying two milking cows that brought back the ark on a cart to Beth Shemesh. Or what about Balaam's ass? Remember, she spoke. Remember her mouth, she was able to speak. And when he was whipping her mouth, she was given the ability to speak, and she said, "Why are you beating me?" I'm loosely paraphrasing what she said, and I believe that that was real, absolutely. And she said, "Why are you beating me?" She said, "When have I ever been disobedient to you? You have owned me since I was l young." And she said, "Why are you doing this to me?" She was allowed what that soul in her was. She was allowed to speak. And let me say something further than that. Yes, I do believe animals, our pets, go to heaven. I know all about the study of it. The Ecclesiastes, but it does say, who knoweth? It doesn't say for sure. It says, who knoweth whether the spirit of a man goes upward and the spirit of a beast goes downward? It says, who knoweth? I've read and listened to countless hours of people Christians who have died and the Lord sent them back, and they said they saw their pets. People said they have seen all kinds of pets there, animals. What kind of heaven would it be if there was no birds? I'm looking forward to seeing my childhood pets. I'm so looking forward to heaven land. Let's keep going. What about the ass that was tied with her colt that Jesus told his disciples, go into the village and as soon as you enter in, you'll see an ass tied with his colt. Bring her to me. If anybody asks you what you were doing, tell them. Because the Lord has need of them. And you know, I say to myself, I know God is not in need of anything, but God, Jesus Christ in his body said, I have need of him. And also too, look at all the metaphors and examples God uses animals. I mean, look at all the beautiful examples of insects and all the animals that God created. And you know, the tragedy is when we watch like National Geographic and we see them killing, I know they got to eat. But I say to myself, that's going to end one day. A day is going to come soon. The millennial reign will happen. And God is going to stand up and he is going to release those animals from the bondage of corruption that was brought onto them unwillingly. They got sucked into it. And just like those dogs I saw in my dream, that was powerful. Let me tell you something, the peace that I felt wasn't just the sense of human peace, like, oh, it's really peaceful today. It's really quiet. No, it was otherworldly peace, and they were free. And I never, ever forgot that dream, and it's coming soon. Listen to this in Hosea 2:18. It says, and in that day, what day? That millennial day, the 7,000th year, the sabbatical rest, they get to partake in it, and they deserve it so much. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth and will make them to lie down safely, because animals are never safe. In Isaiah 32:14, it says, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left. The forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. And he's talking about the palaces forsaken, the multitude of city left, forts and towers. That's post second coming and the very beginning of the millennial kingdom. Notice, first thing he does is he makes them lie down in safety. And he makes that destruction become a joy for the wild asses and pass a pasture of flocks. In Isaiah 43:20, he says, the beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Listen to how he says, the beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls. I wonder what that really means. Maybe let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I love what it says in Joel 2:22. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. See, it says, be not afraid, ye beasts of the field. You know why? Because everything has, a chain. Of, you know, they eat each other, a consuming chain. But he's going to take all fear out of them. Don't you wish you could just have a bird and just pet a bird? Everything's afraid of every second they live in, always, always, never, ever to rest. Animals can never rest because they're part of a food chain. In Ezekiel 34:25, He says, and I will make them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Praise the Lord. Isaiah's, this is the famous one. Isaiah 11, 6 through 10. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den, poisonous serpents. They won't be poisonous anymore. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now he can rest. The work is done. And I want to point out something prophetic you may not know. Did you know that land animals and mankind were created on the same day? The fowls and the fish were created on the fifth day. And you know, in prophetic time, we are in the 6,000th year, aren't we? And the 6,000th year is regarded as the day of man. And this day is almost over. And the time of our sabbatical rest is at hand. And theirs too. Remember your animals. Every time you see an animal, every time you see a bird flying in the air, every time you look at your pets, every time you see a living creature, remember God created them for his pleasure, and he claims them to be his, and he commands mercy. And I also believe that if a person dies in their sin, all the wickedness that they did to all animals and the brutality and the cruelty will be met at the great white throne judgment. Eye for eye, breach for breach, tooth for tooth, life for life. Because he loves us. He loves them. Think about it. They don't have a mouth. But that Balaam's ass makes me wonder, will they talk to us in heaven? I think so. Praise the Lord. I love God's animals. Be very careful how you treat them. They don't belong to us. They belong to Jesus Christ. And this is his message to you. Shalom.